few weeks ago when we had the baptism of the Lord, my homily there was based on an image of bridges. And I said that it was a bridge feast. It bridged us between the feast of Christmas, the feast of the Incarnation, and ordinary time that we're in right now. But this is also a bridge feast. It's a bridge feast between the joy of Christmas, the birth of the Messiah, the one who is to come into the world, who is the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel, and the celebration of Easter, of the Easter, specifically the Easter Triduum, which includes not just the joy of Easter, but also includes the cost of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. Your own soul a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many might be laid bare. And Mary's soul was rent open as she saw that babe that she brought to present to the temple, in the temple, to the Lord, also pierced by the nails of the cross. So it's not a mistake, and I didn't mean to correct Deacon, but that's the very purpose of why we light these candles today. On what used to be called Candlemas, and if you were Spanish, it was called Candelaria. It was this feast because the candles that you have today, as we remember the presentation of Jesus in the temple, is to connect us with that celebration of the Easter Triduum. That's why you're invited to take those candles and then bring them back to the Easter Vigil. Now, the other reason is sometimes we don't fill the church for the Easter Vigil in some churches. I don't know this church. Maybe it does get filled up for the Easter Vigil. It is a three-hour service. It's the Catholic Super Bowl. We have the other Super Bowl is this weekend, but the real Super Bowl is the Easter Vigil for three hours. And so we invite you to be Catholics of strong fortitude and come back for that three-hour liturgy when we celebrate it on April the 11th. What else are we celebrating here in this Feast of the Presentation of the Lord? Oftentimes, when I talk to some of my brothers in the seminary, when I was in the seminary a long time ago, sometimes some of them have this story that their parents brought them into a church as a baby and dedicated them to Christ. And but what we celebrate here is more than just Mary and Joseph fulfilling the law. It's more than just Jesus being dedicated to the Lord. It's more than his becoming covenanted into God's people through his circumcision on this day as well. What's happening has to be brought in mind with that first reading we have from Malachi. That first reading from Malachi talks about how the Lord would enter himself, would enter into his city, how the Lord would enter into his temple. Again, we have to have those Old Testament ears that I keep talking about. Those Old Testament ears would help us understand that the prophet Ezekiel, when he was describing the destruction of the temple, before the Babylonians destroyed the temple, the glory of the God which hovered over the temple like a cloud, because of the people's unfaithfulness, because of their sin, departed from the temple. And there was a promise that when the glory of God returned to the temple, it would not just be the presence of God, but God himself that would enter his temple. That's what we celebrate today. We celebrate today in Jesus, this baby, Jesus, this infant, who is also God, entering his temple. Now, Everyone loves a baby, okay? I imagine if there were an infant right now in this room, somebody would be looking. I hear a cooing over there. There's a little one right there. So, babies are attractive. You start looking at them. And if you're anywhere related to the family or know the family, at some point you're going to ask, can I hold them? And can you imagine, and I want you to imagine right now, that you're at the presentation of Jesus. And it's not a mistake that Simeon and Anna come up and hold that baby. And when they look in the face of that baby, they also, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can see that this is also the Lord, the God who would redeem his people. In your own imaginations, in your own religious imaginations, imagine that Mary and Joseph hand you the infant Jesus. That prophet Malachi says, "Who could stand? How can we stand when the Lord comes into his temple? Because he comes with a refiner's fire, with a fuller's brush." Now, many of us don't understand quite what that means. A refiner's fire. When you take silver ore to refine it, to make it bright, to make it, you know, the stuff that you have to polish in your homes, it has to be sent through a fire that makes it liquid. And what that image is, can you imagine that God comes and because of the love that he has for you, this process starts in us. When we look and fall in love with this infant who will also suffer, when we realize that this infant Jesus that we look at is also the one who suffered and died on the cross. And when we look at that infant in love, we can't stay the same. We have to change. Our sin is reflected in that love, that our sin is also on that cross as Christ kills it. And so getting rid of sin is a painful process. Getting rid of the habit of sin is an uncomfortable process. But we do it not because we're trying to check a box or act according to a certain kind of ethics. It's because we've fallen in love with Christ who already fell in love with us so that he became an infant, so that he might become the adult that suffered and died on the cross. A fuller's brush. Fullers used to use lye. Any of you who had parents in the old days who used to make lye soap know that it used to stink up the house, right? And a fuller was somebody who took that lye with cloth to make it white. They didn't have good bleach back then. It was lye, and you would use a brush to get that cloth startling white. This was so stinky a process that it was never allowed. A fuller's business was never allowed in a town. It was always outside of town. It's the same thing with us. When we look in love at the face of Jesus, getting rid of that stinky stuff in us called sin, those habits of sin, is a process which can be a little ugly. But why do we do it? Because we've fallen in love. The Feast of the Presentation is a bridge feast between the Nativity and the cross, between the joy of the Incarnation and the celebration of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Those candles are a symbol both of that Christmas light that came into the world, that is the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel, but also that Easter candle that will come into the world, the light against whom the darkness cannot prevail. My hope is that you can take some of these images with you, the light, the bridge, and this infant, and play around them in your own personal prayer this week.